and welcome to the Making Margin podcast.
This is Nick Foy.
We've decided.
All right. Unilaterally.
Now he just ruined the intro, so you need to do it again.
Hi. Welcome to the Making Margin podcast, episode 4. My name is Nick Foy. I'm the founder of Greenway Wealth Advisors. We are a financial planning investment management firm based in the south end of Charlotte, North Carolina. To my right is Allie.
Hi.
Allie is our director of client experience. She takes care of our clients and makes sure that they're well cared for. She's good at that too. All right. To my left is Jeff Heminger. Jeff is our director of financial planning.
Hello.
And if you didn't hear his story about the goats, listen to the last episode, the healthcare health savings account episode. He'll tell you about his goats.
Yes.
On this episode, we titled it Never Retire. So there's a lot of research out there talking about the reality of what happens when people actually retire and do nothing. And we're going to talk through that today. The concept of retirement really hasn't existed for that long. Like up until the 19th century, people would basically farm. It was sustenance farming. They'd farm so they could survive. And if they got a cut and they got an infection, they died. And there were famines and many things. And they just hoped that there was enough growth on their farm that they had a good year or whatever. And they were able to eat the potatoes that they grew or whatever it was that they were growing. And that was life for basically all of human history until the 19th century. And then the Industrial Revolution happened. And then all of a sudden, people can like work off the farm and then go do other things. And they can make money doing something. They can take and pay the farmer to buy food from them. And now we just go to the grocery store and I can buy whatever I want from all sorts of farmers and it gets trucked into the grocery store. And it's a really glorious thing that we don't appreciate enough, I don't think. Wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
So otherwise, you know, people had 25 kids and they didn't even name them till they were like 6 because they'd die before then. And
where is fact check on this?
Well, I'm exaggerating. Okay. I'm only slightly exaggerating on this, actually. Like, when did they start naming kids? And they were 3 years old or something?
I don't know. Back in the good old days?
back in the good old days. Life was simpler then. Yes, it was. So
Nick will know because he's very old.
So anyway, all to say, this concept of retirement didn't exist because people just worked until they died. And in the 19th century, it started with Otto von Bismarck. This comes, by the way, from a book, The Happiness Equation. And I heard the guy interviewed on NPR not long ago. He just wrote this book. He's from Vancouver, Canada, I believe. And he talks about what ultimately leads to happiness. And what he talks about is that in the late 19th century, Otto von Bismarck in Germany decided that it'd be cheaper for us to pay people not to work, like older employees, let's make them stop working and we'll just hire younger people instead that we can pay less. And so that's what they started to do. So they created a retirement system. And at age 65, if you were still alive, you could go retire and the government would pay you not to work. So this is the sort of inception of this idea of retirement. And what the research is telling us is that this kind of made up late 19th, 20th century phenomenon isn't necessarily good or healthy. The idea of retirement, the idea of I'm going to stop working and I'm going to go do nothing. And we're going to talk today a little bit about that, and we're going to talk through what our clients talk about in our office and what they think about around this concept of retirement. So there's been an entire industry built around this idea that at some point we don't want to work and we're just going to do nothing, or we're going to hit the golf ball around, or we're going to go on, you know, whatever it is that we decide to do in retirement. And our clients don't necessarily buy into this. So tell us, Allie and Jeff, a little bit about what we hear in our office. What do our clients say when we say, when do you want to retire?
Most people say they don't really ever want to retire because they equate retirement with exactly what you just said, hitting the golf ball around the golf course. And most people have some sort of passion for what they do or have some thing that they would like to do. So, a lot of our conversations are not about retirement in that sense, but it's more about financial independence. And so it's figuring out, you know, when are we not tied to the paycheck? You know, when are we not relying on that? When can we provide for ourselves so we can do something else?
Yeah.
I feel like we have two types of clients, the client that wants to retire yesterday and the client that never wants to retire.
The client that wants to retire yesterday, though, what are they, what images do you think
they want? Freedom, which is what we talk about, what Jeff was just saying. Yeah. It's freedom from having to do the 9-to-5 job that they don't really care about, but it's a paycheck they need.
It's really just the matter of how the word retirement is perceived by the individual. I mean, financial independence, I think, is a great replacement because then it can mean something different to anyone. And I think there are things you give up on that you're passionate about, that you wish you could do, but they can't sustain your lifestyle. I think financial independence is just getting to the point where you can now go do those things.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's totally true. There's an industry that's been created around this concept, and the companies with the big marketing budgets, they'll be, if you ever watch a football game or a golf tournament, you are going to see advertisements on TV for companies that are advertising what they think is the perfect retirement, or at least what they're imagining the perfect retirement to be for their clients. In a lot of ways, I think they're missing the mark on this because not only has it been shown to actually be bad for your health to retire, but most people are figuring that out and figuring out that they want to stay active and they want to continue to do something. And so replacing work with something else is a really important part of the process, and not just necessarily doing nothing, but doing something other than showing up at your 9-to-5 every day.
Yeah, I think, pick your whatever picture you're thinking of, traditional retirement, in our generation's eyes, and it's aimless, it's purposeless. And there's a reason why, The Purpose-Driven Life is one of the, top-selling books of all time.
I believe it's number two behind the Bible, actually.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, there's all these people that are searching for purpose, but at the same time, they're being marketed the idea that you can just do whatever. Like, you can just wander aimlessly, play golf. Like, that's not a real purpose. Yeah. And so then you get all these people that are, unhappy and because they've been sold something that they didn't actually want or need.
Right. What is there anyone for you two in your lives that you look at that you think is retired well, that you think, oh, they're doing a good job of this?
Yeah, I do. I've in the past volunteered with a church I used to go to. They do a bike ministry. So we take, discarded bikes and fix them up and give them away to kids for Christmas that wouldn't have gotten something like that otherwise. And most of the guys that work, it's like the pastor and then a bunch of retired guys and then me. And all the retired guys were really successful in their careers, but they didn't want to just sit around doing nothing. And they're all really active and, they've found something that brings them some joy. There's a lot of good fellowship and lighthearted ribbing and things like that. But they're also not just sitting around doing nothing. They're bringing, they're giving of themselves, of their time to enrich the lives of someone that has less. And I think, finding something that they can bring purpose that's not your, stated career. Tons of people in that life would, if given their druthers, they would hang out at a bike shop, work on bikes. That's just fun. There are a lot of good people in that hobby, but you can't really make a career out of it and you don't get paid anything. And so that's the idea of financial independence. You've taken care of yourself enough that you can go do something that you're not relying on that paycheck or you can give away your time, things like that. I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
We actually have a client that I adore that I think is doing retirement perfectly. He is doing kind of what Jeff said. He helps people. He has lots of different organizations that he volunteers at and that he is a part of and a member of and all of these things. He travels. He gets to, he does what he enjoys, but he also gives back. And he's happy. He's truly happy. And that's kind of my role model is...
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we talk about a lot is the, generosity, and that doesn't have to be just financially. It's also your time. Mm-hmm. And so once you reach the point of financial independence, which you could call that retirement if you want to, then you are free to do things like volunteer and give away your time instead of requiring some sort of return for it.
So what do you do during your working years to prepare for that?
Save money.
You spend less than you make.
You create margin.
But how do you figure out what those passion projects are? What those things are that you think I could see myself investing more time in this?
I think if you just think back to when you were a child and you have those projects in elementary school where it's like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Most people don't say, I want to be a lawyer or
financial advisor.
Advisor, or, you know, doctor or whatever. Some people say doctor. That's a real calling for a lot of people. But what are those things that like really have struck you from a young age that you just kind of wrote off because you looked at the lifetime earnings of somebody that works as a bike mechanic and you decided that wasn't right for you, mm-hmm. you know?
I think too, developing relationships with organizations that are already doing things that are interesting to you during your working years and supporting them financially and supporting them with your time and figuring out a way to find those places that you want to get plugged in more. And then setting that aside and saying, all right, when I have more time and more money to be able to really invest in these places and develop longstanding relationships, then I'm going to do that. And
wholeheartedly agree with that. You don't have to wait till you're financially independent or retiring. You can start giving away little pieces of your time and
that's
expertise
another,
and things like that. Now,
a big difference in the mindset, I think, for most of our clients, Generation X and Yers versus baby boomers, is the idea that like we're afforded the opportunity to basically do what we want. And if we don't like what we do, then we just say, oh, I'll go find something else to do. And that is a big difference versus the person that worked a factory job for 30 or 35 years and then retired and then didn't do anything and had a pension, right? They worked for the same company for a long time and then they stopped working. And with our generation, it is much more, and again, in all of human history, we're the first generation afforded this. And Allie, I'm talking about us as the same generation. But if we don't like what we do, we say, well, I'm going to go do something else. I'm going to work for a different company that takes care of me better, or I'm going to go out on my own, or kind of whatever it is. And there are a lot of people now that can afford to do that, that never necessarily could have before. And so most of our clients are saving up to have, to spend money. We talked about experiences versus things. Most of our clients are saving up to have experiences as they go. And saying, yeah, I want to work forever. And maybe it's I want to work for this company until I'm 70 or 75 or whatever. But they're saving up to have experiences as they go along the way and not necessarily just delaying everything until that point when they retire and say, okay, then once I'm retired, I'm going to do what we really want to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, just practical advice. Get out there, volunteer, try different things, see what speaks to you, and go from there.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
I think another way you could figure out like maybe what you should consider with your freedom is, I don't remember where I heard this, but it's like the thing that you're really passionate about is what you're doing when you're procrastinating at work, you know? So what do you...
And Instagram doesn't count.
Yeah. Well, maybe it is. That's the thing. Yeah. Maybe it's the thing that you're procrastinating on Instagram looking at.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether it be travel or... You know, whatever.
I feel like it all can also stem from whatever social injustice you're passionate about.
Yeah.
A lot of the times.
Yeah, for sure. I've gotten to watch from my wife, both of her grandfathers, who one is deceased and one is 93. He's 93. Both of them have, in my mind, retired really well in that they stayed super active all the way. The one that passed away died when he was 89, I think. So he had a long life. He was in the military for a lot of years. And when he retired from the military, he remained active and invested. And he was active. He lived in South Florida towards the end of his life, just like every old person, they live in Florida. He lived in South Florida towards the end of his life and was active in investing in teenage kids, like teenage boys who probably don't have father figures, who needed a mentor. He was part of a mentorship program there and for like inner city kids there. And not a lot of guys in their late 80s with all this wisdom that they've accumulated over the years are number one, mentally fit enough, number two, physically fit enough to be able to do something like that. And even those that are don't necessarily do it. And you accumulate through the years and through the decades a lot of wisdom and a lot of things to pass on. And so who are you going to take that and actually invest it into? And he lived a healthy life. I mean, not only was he obviously physically healthy, he was really mentally sharp. And I'm convinced that remaining active was part of that. In the Happiness Equation book, he talks about the four S's of happiness. And the four S's, he says, are social, structure, stimulation, and story. So social meaning that there are people around me that I'm interacting with consistently, and jobs bring that, right? Like even if the people you work with aren't your best friends, for me they are, but not everybody. You have social interaction with humans outside of your own household. Structure, meaning there's somewhere for me to go. Stimulation, there's something for me to do. And story, meaning there's a purpose behind what it is that I'm doing. And for a lot of people, work isn't necessarily their purpose. But when you replace those four things that typically come with being gainfully employed and you eliminate all them, then suddenly that joy and happiness that comes from those things is gone too. And he talks about in the book and in the NPR interview that we'll link to a community in Japan that doesn't even have a word for retirement. There is no word for retirement in their language, and their life expectancy is like 90 years old. You know, they live a really long time because they just keep their, I think he says they're fishermen, and they just keep fishing.
Yeah.
And they keep doing that.
One of his quotes in that is the two most dangerous years are the year you're born and the year you retire.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's really pretty interesting.
And sort of anecdotally, we know of people who retire and die relatively soon after they retire. And actually there's a lot of data to back that up that says, yeah, that actually is something that happens with some frequency.
Well, and if you retire at 65, you could live 30 plus years of doing what?
Yeah.
Like that's really, that's a lot of time.
It's a lot of time. It's a third of your life, doing nothing potentially. So having something to retire to is really important. And again, if you're 20, if you're 30, if you're 40 years old, starting to think about these things earlier, can help people like us to help you plan, right? Like how do we plan for those things? So one of the problems with this is that all the accounts that we use are labeled as retirement accounts. Like that's how the Congress and the IRS have decided to label them. So we use a Roth IRA as an individual retirement account, and a traditional IRA, and a 401k is a employer-sponsored retirement plan. So everything that the industry and even our own legal code and IRS code tells us to plan for is for retirement. And how are you planning for that? And really, it's how do we take advantage of the accounts that exist out there and their tax structure in order to maximize your chance to be financially independent?
Yeah. And one thing we talk about is it's money before 59 and a half and money after 59 and a half, because that's what the legal code tells us that it's for.
Right.
And so we think about, you know, let's make sure we're saving enough for after 59 and a half, but also for things that you want to do before that.
Yeah. One of the things we'll talk about, no, I'm not going to go into that. I was going to talk about expense on.
I think we should address fire.
Fire. So no, fire, the fire concept of fire, if you go on the Reddit threads, I don't spend much time on Reddit. I don't know how it works really.
But
a lot of Google searches will, you'll come up with threads on Reddit and it's all end up there. Have you ever been on Reddit?
I have not, but I have benefited from the conspiracy theories that Reddit comes up with.
Wow.
Yeah, it sounds like what I'm doing with my afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of the financial independents retire early. That's what FIRE stands for. They blog. So that's really kind of a job, that something that gives them purpose. So they get a lot of flack for what they talk about. And basically, they live extremely frugally so they can become financially independent early. And I mean,
and we're talking really frugally. Yeah, we're talking like Top Ramen, mac and cheese.
But it can be whatever you want.
Yeah.
Financial independence, retire early, can be 55 and you can still go on trips and do fun things. But I think at the end of the day, it's just another way that you can look at retirement as financial independence, right? So when do you want to get there to the point where you're not beholden to an employer? And then what do you want to do after? My favorite blog is Mr. Money Mustache. Yeah, he has like a cult following, Mustachians. And he has tons of great ideas, but he didn't, you know, live really frugally and retire and do nothing. He writes his blog. He has a co-working space in Colorado. So he's getting all these four S's. He renovates houses. He does projects on the side and writes about them on his blog. So it's like things that are keeping him engaged. And I look at that and say, that's the kinds of things that I like to do, and would be like fun for me to be independent, to be able to do more frequently. And so, you know, it doesn't have to be like an all or nothing approach. It's somewhere along the glide path of when you're independent.
Right. So resources on this, like I said, The Happiness Equation, another book by a guy named Mitch Anthony called The New Retire Mentality. he talks about a lot of these same concepts. There's plenty of stuff out there on it. The other one that I really like, The Algebra of Happiness, which is a really interesting, to me, a very interesting read. And he talks through, he talks about a lot of different things about sort of what leads to people being generally satisfied with life. The way I think about it is he has four S's. I kind of have three P's that encompass all these things. People, purpose, physical health. If you have those three things and they're relatively well balanced, then you're probably doing fine. And I see people in my life and I see people that, you know, you just read about that are missing one of those three or have too much on one side and not enough on the other or whatever. And there's generally a lot less satisfaction. And so anyway, all to say, whatever it is that you come up with for those things that lead to this idea of general life satisfaction and contentment, pursue those things. And I think that spending your time and spending your money on places that are, again, long-term relationships is a big part of helping you to think about getting there. Well, thanks so much for joining us on the Making Margin podcast, episode 4, Never Retire. If you have questions, comments, whatever, you can send Allie an email. She'll field all those. Allie@greenwaywealth.com. Check out our website, greenwaywealth.com. You can also schedule an appointment with us if you wanted to. If you like what you hear, there's a lot more of that when you come into our office, and it's more personalized too.
Yeah, if you just want to hear our voices in person instead of over the interwebs.
Yeah, across cyberspace. So thanks very much for joining us today. Until next time.